From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer warned Republicans this week as they passed their behemoth tax bill, deeply skewed to the rich, that it, quote, will be an anchor around the ankles of every Republican. Indeed, Schumer and other Democratic Party leaders are also celebrating the passage of the tax bill because they see it as lighting their path to retaking both the House and Senate next November. The special election in Alabama in early December, which gave the Liberal Party a surprise seat in a deeply red state, has helped fuel that optimism. Now the passage of the unpopular tax bill could help push that momentum to political victory for Democrats. But as has been the case for years, Democrats are often their own worst enemy. My guest is Richard R.J. Eskow, host of The Zero Hour, a weekly radio program, and a senior fellow with the Campaign for America's Future. He's also a former consultant and public policy advisor. And he's written a new piece called The Tax Bill is a Lifeline for Democrats. Will they sink or swim? Welcome to the program, R.J.
Always a pleasure to be here, Sonali. Thanks.
So we've seen, at least in Alabama, that just a small margin can push control, or can help win a seat, a small margin of votes in the Virginia state race that took place earlier this week. That was even more true, where Democrats now are in a tie with Republicans because the single seat that was up for grabs was won by one vote. And so, of course, Democrats understand that turnout is critical, but the reason why turnout has been hard for them, aside from the voter ID laws, is, of course, because they have failed to inspire their own base, right?
Sure. I mean, I would even go so far as to say I'm not sure it's clear to all Democrats that turnout is critical. I think there are still Democrats trying to pursue the, in my mind, largely mythical, persuadable voter somewhere in the middle between the Democrats and the Republicans who, if only they make the right pitch, will turn away from the Republicans and towards them. I think more Democrats need to understand that, particularly in today's environment, it's more turnout is more important than persuasion of the mythical middle. You know, virtually half of the electorate doesn't vote, even in presidential elections. Those are the people that need to be reached with a story about how their lives are going to become better.
And of course, Democrats often take for granted those voters that turn out over and over again to back them without, that are often taken for granted. Black voters in particular in Alabama, as you wrote, black women to the tune of 98% showed up to vote for Doug Jones over Roy Moore because they realized what was at stake. And yet the Democratic Party is actually losing support among black women nationwide. Are they paying attention to this?
Well, I don't know that they are. I think there's a small chorus of voices telling them that they need to be concerned about the black vote, that they take the black vote for granted. But I also think that they misunderstand sometimes what it takes to reach out to, black voters have issues that are unique to America's history of slavery and racism, but they also have the issues that other working Americans, middle class Americans, poor Americans, so on, do. They also have, in fact, most of the economic problems that plague the middle class and working Americans in general, if anything, are exacerbated, if you look at the statistics, among African Americans. So one of the criticisms of Doug Jones's campaign, I mean, there's anecdotal evidence to suggest that a lot of that vote was against Roy Moore, who appeared to show clear signs of racism, wanted to repeal all the amendments after the 10th. That would include the 13th and 14th that ended slavery and gave full rights to African Americans. So, I'm not sure this is so much a pro-Democratic vote as an anti-Republican vote. And I think if they want to win black and brown voters going forward, we get this narrative from some people, centrist Democrats, that it's either identity identity politics or class politics, and you have to choose one or the other, they're inseparable. And so some black voters were offended, for example, that Doug Jones's outreach to them in Alabama consisted solely of his history of prosecuting the Klan and not at all about the fact that they face economic challenges, jobs, wage sufficiency, and all that sort of thing. You have to reach people in the full dimensionality of their lived experience. And I think that's a lesson that more Democrats need to understand.
There, you know, much is being made of the poll numbers for Donald Trump as, you know, one indication, not just of what Trump is doing, but what he and his party together are doing. His poll numbers keep dropping, even now among his base. What is being missed, however, is that Hillary Clinton's poll numbers also keep dropping, even though she is no longer, you know, running for any race. Some people imagine she might next year, but she continues to remain supremely unpopular despite the fact that Trump has had such a terrible year. In fact, losing candidates often see a bump in popularity after an election. She has not seen that. To me, that's a clear indication that she continues to not know how to, in representing her party at least, continues to not know how to speak to Americans.
Well, I think it also speaks to the fact that the Democratic Party's own approval numbers have reached a 25-year low, even with all the dissatisfaction with Donald Trump that we're seeing. And despite the fact that Republicans are even more unpopular than Democrats, the fact remains that even with the enormous unpopularity of Republicans, even with the enormous unpopularity of Trump, Democrats continue to lose support. They should be thinking a lot more seriously about that than they are. They should be asking what it takes to turn that perception around. I would argue it's because we have a Democratic Party that seems to talk exclusively about the terribleness of Trump and what may or may not have been done by the Russians in the last election, and doesn't say very much about what they're going to do to make working people's lives better. That breeds cynicism and apathy rather than engagement and voter turnout.
And in fact, on this tax bill, there was a really interesting piece in the Washington Post was entitled "How the Republicans Pulled Off the Biggest Tax Overhaul in 30 Years." But what jumped out at me from that article was the finding that Republican Senator Rob Portman met secretly with Senator Joe Manchin, who's a moderate Democrat, and was told by the Democrat that he would consider joining the tax effort and that other Democrats might join him if they lowered the corporate tax rate, not from 35 to 20%, but from 35 to 25%. For a mere 5% increase to the corporate tax rate, or I should say for a mere 15% for a 15% decrease rather than a 20% decrease, they were willing to sell out to the Republicans. And it's because the GOP said, no, we don't want you on on our team, that the Democrats are now looking good.
Right. No, I mean, and I think it speaks to an even deeper problem, Sonali, which is that many Democrats they don't have a counter narrative. You know, the Republicans say, well, if you just unfetter the power of free enterprise and capitalism, everyone's lives will get better. We should have learned that wasn't true in 2008 during the financial crisis, but they're still selling that nonsense. The Democrats don't have a counter narrative that says, by coming together and working together the way we did during the New Deal, the way we did to get out of the Depression, the way we did to win World War II, you name it, you know, by working together, we can do great things. The Democrats aren't willing to do that. They're willing to say, well, we'll be like Republicans, but a little less so. If there are still Democrats pushing that line like Joe Manchin, you're not going to win anybody or very many people over to your side.
And Richard, didn't Bernie Sanders show last year that when you clearly spell out things like tax the rich, tax corporations a fair amount, that we live in an oligarchy, that the corporations control too much, when you clearly stated, people gravitate towards that because nobody in power is saying that. It should be so obvious to at least to Democrats who have been paying attention, that if you clearly articulate these things, you will become you will be able to win elections with better than razor thin margins, because it seems as though they are now trying, their strategy is, how do we just barely take control without having to give away too much to ordinary Americans so that we can still keep our corporate paymasters on our side? They can't have it all.
That's exactly right. Number one, it's easier to get big campaign contributions than it is to go out $27 at a time to do that. I worked for Bernie during the campaign. I know how successful that was. But the other piece of it is, look, Bernie is not looking to be like former Democratic Governor Ed Rendell in Pennsylvania running a hedge fund when he leaves office. If you're the kind of Democrat who's looking forward to those cushy board seats and hedge fund jobs once you get out of office, you're not willing to take the clear politically effective route that it also happens to be good policy of, let's say, advocating for Medicare for all. You're not going to become a healthcare lobbyist like Howard Dean if you do that. So, people are reluctant to do it, even though it's good policy and good politics. So what the country needs is politicians who aren't looking to enrich themselves, but are actually looking to be good at what they do.
And because the country has seen over this past year just how Trump and his party have, kind of lived out and made good on their worst, many of their worst promises, the stakes are extremely high. And just, to clarify for anybody who's listening or watching, that you or I want the Democrats to be in power for the sake of their political power. That's not true, of course. Earlier in our week, we interviewed Arun Gupta, who articulated very well, the Democrats are the enemy we need. We can't afford to fight the Republicans because they literally have no standards left. We need the Democrats in power so that we can fight them and so that we can stave off the worst attacks to our Constitution and our rights.
Right. Look, the planet's in danger. Inequality is becoming irreversible. On and on. People are dying from lack of real health care coverage, and insurance and health care coverage are not the same thing. We can no longer afford the incrementalism that the Democratic Party has been selling, but we can't fight for something better if we're under the regime, the thumb of the Republican Party we have now. So I think you and I are basically saying the same thing in different ways. At least with the Democrats in, we have an opening to fight for real change.
Yeah, and if the Democrats would only actually see their real path to victory, maybe they'll read your article, which we'll post a link to from our website. RJ, thanks so much for joining us.
Always a pleasure. Thank you, Sonali.
RJ Eskow is host of the Zero Hour, a weekly radio program, and a senior fellow with the Campaign for America's Future. And his latest piece is entitled, The Tax Bill is a Lifeline for Democrats. Will they sink or swim? I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.